Hi, this is Tony Robbins, and welcome to another edition of Power Talk. I'm really excited to be with you again this month and to share with you a principle that has changed my life, something that's simple, something that I use every single day of my life, something I use when I'm not even aware I'm using it, and something you already use, but that if you harness it, it can shape your life and your destiny more than virtually anything else I could teach you. And that is something I call the power of questions. In fact, this month I want to talk to you about what I call quantum questions because I believe they're the source of life change. I know I've chatted with you before about questions and how important they are because they're a fundamental key to success, but I'd like this month to make that our specific purpose. Put our whole focus on questions. Let's review some of the fundamentals, those of you who know some of them from being with me before, but let's also look at how we can really apply them to get greater results in our life. See, I believe that questions, asking the right questions and doing it consciously and effectively, is like giving yourself the power of dynamite to change anything, a way to blow out obstacles, and a way to actually push yourself to a whole nother level. Questions themselves have so much power to create more pleasure and success in your life, or create more pain and more limitation and failure than virtually anything else out there. And when I look back on my life and where I've made the biggest changes, it's when I've learned to ask myself a brand new question. A question like, how can I do this better? How could I turn this around? How can I make this work? What's really most important in this experience for me to remember and to utilize? Those are the questions that have changed me because they've given me new answers. Everybody wants new answers, right? Don't you want new answers? How do you get them? Ask new questions. You want a better answer for your life? Ask a better quality question. So what I want to do this month is accomplish a couple things. One, I want to really get you to think about and experience and realize the power and impact of questions to change the way you feel, the way you think, the way you make decisions, to shape your entire life. Two, I want to sensitize you to the questions you're already asking yourself, questions you're probably not aware of, because a lot of questions you ask yourself, you do unconsciously. You're not even aware of it. Whenever anything happens in your life, somebody all of a sudden shows up, something starts moving toward you, your brain starts asking questions. The first one always is, what does this mean? Is this going to mean pain or pleasure? And the second question is, what should I do to avoid pain and to gain pleasure? Those are the questions that are going on inside our head all the time, no matter what's occurring in our life. But I want us to become even more sensitive. So if we find ourselves asking habitual questions, that's going to mean we're going to start experiencing habitual results in our lives. And sometimes those habitual results are not the ones we want. See, if you're asking yourself questions all the time like, why can't I ever break through this? You're setting yourself up so that you can't. See, the brain is set up that whatever you ask for, you'll get. If you ask, why can't I do this? The brain will go, okay, here's why you can't do it. If you ask your brain, hey, how can I make this work? How can I turn this around? It will come up with answers. Remember, whatever you look for, you will find. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall what? Receive. See, this is a law. It's how your brain works. And mastering this ultimate tool changes your whole life. The third thing I want to do is get you to develop some new questions for yourself. Some questions that really empower you. Some questions that create new possibility, make you look at your world in a whole other way. Something that'll open up and cause your life to change. And finally, the fourth major result I want to come from this tape is I want you to get in your gut, not just in your intellect, a simple reality. And that is that your entire world can change at any moment in time just by asking a new question. You can literally change the way you think, the way you feel, your direction, the momentum of your life, your ultimate destiny by consistently asking new questions. See, I just got back from Maui and I was there with about 1,000 people from all over the world. And we're there together for about 2.5 weeks. And for me, it's the one probably peak experience of the year for me, the highest experience in terms of sharing with people, because we get to live together for half a month. And there were so many incredible events. And I was feeling so grateful at the end of the program. And I asked myself the question, how come I'm so lucky that I get to do this? Well, first of all, you can imagine what that question does. It makes me feel lucky. It makes me appreciate everything that I've got. It gives me this incredible attitude of gratitude. And it gives me the pleasure that I really want to have in my life, but it keeps my life balanced also. And by the way, the answer that I came up with was a lot of different things. I'm very fortunate. I have lots of great friends. I've worked hard. I've done the right things. I've constantly studied every day. I demand more for myself than other people would expect. And all my answers made me proud. But I also thought, what's the number one skill I used in this program? Because in the program, we created some quote-unquote mini miracles. We had a man, for example, weighed 380 pounds, who when he got to the program within the first day wanted to leave. And the obvious reason was a lot of people judged him by the way he looked. And at least he felt they did at the very minimum. And we were able to ask him questions that got him to develop new beliefs that changed his entire self-image, changed his behavior, not just in his eating so that he can begin to lose weight, but also in the way he used his body and his emotions and how he expected people to respond to him. He changed so radically. He went from being the outsider in the group of 1,000 people, the person hiding out in the corner, to a leader on stage doing all kinds of crazy and outrageous things. He became a hero for the training. I'll never forget when he climbed the top of the 50-foot pamper pole, swaying back and forth up there. And with about 800 people underneath him clapping and yelling and screaming out while the ocean waves are there and he's looking out over the island of Lanai from across there from the top of the pole. What an incredible win. And why was he able to do that? A new set of questions, a new focus. See, he did not focus on, gosh, what if I fall? Because if he did, he would not have climbed up there. Instead, his focus was controlled by a different question. How will I feel when I get to the top? What can this mean? If I can get myself to do this, what else can I get myself to do in my life? As long as I'm secured by the people below, I know I'm safe. So what I need to focus on is, what do I need to do next? That ability to ask the right question got him to the top of the pole. There was another great example. There was a woman there in the seminar who previously had been to one of my programs. And when she came to my original program, she was in a wheelchair. She was on 25 different drugs simultaneously. Everything from antidepressants to cortisone. And you can imagine what that was doing to her body. She's in massive physical pain. And we went to go do some exercises in the training that everyone needs to participate in. And I asked everybody if they would agree to do so. And she objected violently. She said, I can't do that. I'm limited. I can't do these things. She gave me all the reasons, can't. And I saw her there at this point with her cane and at this point down to about 3 drugs. And I said, look at where you've come from, what you said you couldn't do before and what you're doing now. I said, were you wrong before? And I began to ask her what? Questions. Questions that got her to conceive of and perceive of a whole new possibility. Questions that began to move her emotionally. Questions that began to push her buttons. 1 hour later, she gave me her cane. She got off all drugs. The next 2 weeks, she not only was able to participate fully in everything, climbing poles, doing all the exercises, becoming leader of her team, but we found out later on by asking questions that when she was 3 years old, her mother tried to kill her by drowning her in the bathtub. She came from a pretty impoverished background, as you might guess. As a result, she'd not been near the water in 38 years, much less even consider the possibility of swimming, and made her deathly afraid. And by asking questions, utilizing these simple tools, we got her for the first time in 38 years out there swimming, jumping in the water like a kid again. See, questions are the source that would change my life. My life changed when I realized that the only difference between me and the people around me who seemed to be doing better was they were asking better questions. See, my whole life changed one day when I realized that whatever I'm experiencing in life is not based on life itself, but what I'm focusing on. Focus equals reality. Whatever you focus on, that's what you get. Hey, right now in the news, you could feel really bad. How could you do that? Focus on all the horrible things in the news. It's not hard. Turn on your television set. You hear about all the murders, and you could look at that and say, why are people so terrible? Why are people so destructive? And you could get yourself whipped into a frenzy about it. I'm not saying you should ignore it, but maybe a better question is, what's going on to cause this? What could we do to help change this? How can we utilize an understanding of human behavior to change this trend in our society? See, those questions will lead us to answers instead of just focusing on the problem itself. Whatever happens in life, whatever we feel is not based on the reality, but based on our focus. See, you could be really depressed right now, focus on all things that have ever been terrible in your life, or you could be really excited right now by thinking about all the great things that happened in your life, or all things that could happen in the near future. Focus equals reality. And here's the key. If you want to change your reality, change your focus. If you want to change your focus, change the question you're asking yourself. That's the key to everything. Questions are the control tool to focus. Therefore, questions are the control to your own experience of life. If you change your consistent questions, you can change consistently how you feel, how you think, how you make decisions, and who you become. The only difference between you and other people is the questions that they ask. That's it. If you see someone who has more success, the first thing you should do is find out how do they think. See, thinking is nothing but the process of asking and answering questions. You're doing it constantly. That's all it is. Here's an example of a woman who asked herself disempowering questions. Here are questions she asked in a period of 20 minutes of herself in conversation with a friend of mine. And we just wrote them down as we listened to them. And I'll just give you a little background on this woman. She's quite unhappy. She is an artist and she was just divorced. Listen to some of the questions. First question, she looks at her artwork. She's given her heart and soul to it. And she says, is this saleable? Next question, am I doing this with integrity or is it just another sale? Think what that would do to your self-esteem to be asking that about yourself. Then her next question is, well, what does it matter anyway? How would that be for demotivating your whole life? Next question, why can't I just retire? That's not exactly going to make you a great artist and make you want to share your work. Next one, how long do I have to wait for someone to rescue me? There's a situation where you're not going to be empowered in your life, totally in reaction. Next one, what should I tell my therapist about this? Next one she said is, should I tell my therapist about this? Next she said, do I have any experience doing this? By the way, this is a question I rarely ask myself. That's one of the reasons I'm empowered. Because if I kept saying, well, do I have any experience doing this? Most of the things I now do, I once didn't have any experience. I wouldn't even have tried it if I asked that question. Don't ask yourself, do I have any experience doing it? Ask yourself, who's already getting results who I can model? What could I do right now to emulate them? That's an empowering question by contrast. Next question you ask yourself is, am I sabotaging myself? Remember, if you do that, you create doubt. You begin to wonder if you're sabotaging yourself. You look for reasons to back up that idea as you ask the question. Why can't I be married to a wealthy man? Why have I done this to myself? Has my entire life been nothing but a self-sabotage? Last one, why do I make myself so unhappy? Most people have a string of questions they use to destroy themselves. Don't let this be you. You got to start listening to what you say to yourself, not just what you say, but the questions you ask. They control it all. See, one day I was thinking to myself, what really makes the biggest difference in life? Who I've become, who I am as a person, where I'm going? What determines that? And my answer was, well, it's not the events that shape my life, it's the way I evaluate them. And I thought, well, evaluate is such a big word. It's true. You know, how I evaluate, how I look at it, all those different things, that affects me. But really, if I want to take that word evaluation, since it's such a big word, and make it simpler, what is an evaluation? How could I explain evaluations in a simpler way so that people could really use it? So I thought to myself, all right, well, how would I explain it? What would I say? What is an evaluation? And I thought to myself, well, right now I'm evaluating, aren't I? I'm trying to evaluate how to describe what an evaluation is. What am I doing right now? And I noticed something. I thought, I've asked myself a bunch of questions here. I said, what is an evaluation? How can I describe it more simply? What am I doing right now? What are all those things? Those are questions, aren't they? I thought, is it possible that evaluations are nothing but questions? And I started laughing. I thought, well, isn't that a question? And I thought, and isn't that a question is also a question, isn't it? In fact, think about it yourself. Can you think of a situation where you're evaluating, where you're really not asking a question? And notice I'm asking you a question in order to get you to evaluate. The point is this. Evaluations are nothing but questions. If we change our questions, we change our experience. We change who we are, how we think, and what we do. So if we want to control our life, we want to control our questions. And here is something I've already said in this tape. I want to say it again because I want you to hear me and I want you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else I say on this tape, please remember this. Whatever we ask for, we'll get an answer to. I repeat, whatever you ask of yourself, whatever you ask of your mind, of the world, whatever you ask for consistently, you will get an answer, whether it's true or not. So remember the example I gave just as we started this tape. If you say, what's wrong in my life, there may not be anything wrong. But if you ask what's wrong, you'll get an answer. If you ask how come I can never work things out, your brain will tell you because you're an idiot. See, the bottom line is if you ask, how can I make this work? How come my life is so great? Your brain will tell you because you're smart, because you've learned this, because you've applied what you know. See, we have to understand that if we seek, we'll find. If we ask, we'll receive. It's a critical distinction about questions. I know you know it, but you need to hear it enough by repetition that you remember it during those critical times when you start asking lousy questions. And secondly, remember what I've reiterated. The only difference in people is the difference in the questions they ask. Think of it. Who are the great leaders that you think of? Let's say, for example, in American history. One that pops into my mind almost always is a gentleman named John F. Kennedy. I mean, here is a man who could move us, who was charismatic, who cared about people, who was able to shape a vision and get people to follow and go for it, able to show people they were responsible for creating their future, that it wasn't just government. In fact, of all the quotes, of all the speeches he gave, one of the most highly quoted is the one where he really got us to ask ourselves a new question. You remember it, don't you? He said, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Wow, what a new way of looking at things. He got us to ask a question where we're responsible, where we're in charge, where we're here to contribute, not to take. See, that's leadership. That's power. That's vision. Another great leader, let's take Martin Luther King. He was constantly asking the question, how do we create equality? How do we turn things around? And he gave answers, nonviolent answers on how to turn things around because he asked a different quality of question. He said, how do we do this in a way that's not destructive, in a way that builds? How do we turn the dream into reality? He asked the question. He didn't give up the question until he found real answers. That's power. That's leadership. That's an ability that you and I have. You're a Martin Luther King. You're a John F. Kennedy if you just ask a quality of question that's similar. Think about it. See, Einstein asked a different question. Do you know how he came across this theory of relativity? It didn't come about because he was just this great genius. He did something you could do. He was sitting in a calculus class and he was bored. Does that sound familiar? And what did he do? He looked at the clock. And as he looked at the clock, he asked himself a series of questions, five questions that really changed probably the history of physics, the history of how we look at our universe for many people. First question he said is, he wondered, just a weird, stupid question most people would have thought, how do we know what time it is? Good question. His answer was, well, we see it on the clock. Then he asked a second question. And the question was, well, how do we see what's on the clock? His brain said, well, you know, the light bounces off into our eyes and that's how we see it. And then he let his brain really go nuts and ask a question most people don't ask. See, how you get new answers? You ask new questions. You want answers no one else has? Ask questions no one else is asking. His question was, well, what if? A great way to start a question. What if? That's called a possibility question. What if you could travel with the light to the clock, like as fast as the light was going? What if you could travel the speed of light? You were like on the end of that beam of light. And he visualized that. He said, what if you're on the end of the beam of light as it went? What would you see then? And he thought, well, what you'd see is you'd actually see the actual hand go and move to that next minute. You'd actually see the time change. He thought, that's interesting. Then he asked a fourth question. What if you traveled faster than light itself? Then what would you see? You wouldn't see the clock go from 1 to 2 on the minutes. If you're going faster than light, I guess what you'd see is you'd see the clock actually moving backwards. Then he said, final question, would you just be seeing the clock go backwards, or would time itself actually be moving in reverse because you were going faster than light itself? Now, could you ask those questions and thought in a similar way? You bet you could have. The only difference is he had some references on how to be able to back up his theory with numbers and equations. That's the only difference. But the questions he asked, you could have asked as well, and you may have come up with similar answers. Isn't that fair to say? See, if you want to be great, ask great questions. The quality of your life is nothing but the quality of questions you ask yourself. If you ask questions like, why me? Why does this always happen to me? Then guess what? You're totally disempowered. If you ask questions like, how can I turn this around? How can I make it work? How can I utilize this? How can I use this to empower myself and others? You're going to have some phenomenal answers, and answers give you power, the power to change your world. Remember this too, superior questions create a superior life. See, anybody who's superior in a particular area is superior because they ask questions in that area. If you know somebody who's funny, it's not because they're more funny than you are, it's because they ask a question consistently you probably don't ask, which is, what's funny about this? Or how could I make this sound funny? Or how can I make this look funny? See, if you keep asking that question, I got news for you, you'll get answers about how to make things funny. But if you have this belief inside your head says, well, I'm a serious person, or I can't tell jokes, or I'm not very funny, or I can't do that, I can't make people laugh, that belief will keep you from ever even asking the question. Or if you ask the question, you'll do it in a state of mind where you don't expect an answer. And I will tell you, the state you ask a question in certainly affects your answers, right? If you ask a question like, well, how can I get rich tomorrow? It's highly unlikely your brain will go, well, here's 52 ways to turn it all around. But if you say, hey, how could I really make a difference? How could I add value and be profitable in the process? And you say it with a state of expectancy, your state will help you get real answers. If you ask a question expecting an answer, you'll get it. That's part of superior question asking. Put yourself in a state where you expect the answer. And if you don't get it, keep asking. The answer will come. See, I don't care if you're Einstein or if you're Disney, who's looking in an orchard and saying, how could I create something here that people from miles around the world will come to? The only way to take a vision and make it real is ask the question. But most people are afraid of asking questions, or most people have the habit of asking disempowering questions. You don't want to be part of that. See, when you ask questions, you accomplish three things. Number one, the minute you ask a question, you immediately change your own focus, or if you're asking someone else a question, their focus. Now, what happens when you change somebody's focus? Let's say they're really all angry and upset about something, and you come by, and out of the clear blue sky, you ask them a question like, hey, let me ask you a question. Where were you yesterday at 2 o'clock? Well, the first thing it does is it interrupts that person's focus. You can't think about two things at once. They can't think about what they're upset about and the question you're asking them. So it changes their focus, and they think about 2 o'clock yesterday, and they're a little confused, and that changes their state. It's going to change the way they think, the way they feel, maybe even their behavior a little bit. Or you could come along and say, hey, I have a question for you. I know that's upsetting and stuff. Let's talk about that in a second, but I want to know one thing. Tell me about your daughter. I heard you're pretty excited about what she's doing in school. If you get that person to tell you about their daughter, focus on their daughter by asking them a question, all of a sudden, if they're proud of their daughter, watch what happens. Their state changes. They start to feel good, and when they feel good, will that change the kind of questions they ask a few minutes later? You bet. When you're feeling better, you ask better questions. If you're feeling angry, you say, why did they do this to me? How come this always happens? If you're feeling pretty good, you go, how come I got so lucky? How can I use this? How can I turn it around? So questions, number one, they change our focus and therefore our state. And all of us need the ability to change our state at any moment in time. I'll give you an example of how I use this for myself. When I first discovered the power of questions and I started actually making this not just an idea, but really a technology, something I used on a regular basis with myself, I discovered some news one day and I was very angry, very upset. Somebody had taken some of my stuff and stolen it. And they had put their own name on it. And I got real upset about this. And I was like, how could this person have the audacity to do this? Now, you can imagine that's not a question that probably makes you feel too terribly good, right? And I said, how could this person be such a liar, such a thief? How could they take advantage of me in this way? I was whipped into a nice frenzy. And I knew I could have changed my state by the traditional ways I've taught you. I could have changed my physiology. I could have changed my focus, but I didn't want to. But see, you know, asking a question is easy to do and you're doing it all the time anyway. So I asked a question. And the question I thought to myself was, what could I learn from this? And I started thinking, well, what could I learn from this? My answer was, well, I could learn the power of questions and whether they really do work even when you're upset. So I asked the next question. I thought, okay, I was thinking about how disrespectful he was. And I thought to myself, okay, well, what do I respect about this guy? Which is the direct opposite of what I was feeling. I had no respect for somebody who cheats and connives and lies and steals. But I thought, what do I respect about this guy? And you know what the answer came up with? I asked the question really expecting the answer, and my brain first said, nothing. So then I said, okay, well, what could I respect about him if I wanted to respect him? You know what my brain said? Well, at least he's using my stuff. You know, at least he's out there trying to apply it. At least he isn't going in one ear and out the other one. I may respect the fact that in his mind, I'm sure he doesn't think he's stealing. In his mind, he's probably spreading the word. I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but, you know, I respect the fact that he at least is listening and trying to do something with it. And somewhere in the back of his head, he's probably not trying to steal. Somewhere in the back of his head, what I respect is he probably believes he's helping other people as well. And maybe he is. Who knows? And what it did is at least made me a little neutral. Now, it didn't make me not want to take legal action, but it got me out of a negative state. See, the questions we ask change our state. If in a moment I want to feel good, all I got to do is ask myself the question, who do I love and who loves me? Wow, what a quick state change that is. In the midst of all the craziness, I can ask myself that. Who do I love and who loves me? And what's more important than that? Ken Blanchard and I were talking, and we said, you know, what's really most important in life? We talked about it was relationships. And Ken talked about, you know, he didn't know anybody who came to the end of their life and said, gosh, I didn't spend enough time at the office. But he knew a lot of people felt like I didn't stay close enough to the people I care about. So I thought to myself, that's a good question to ask. So I asked myself that on a regular basis. Who do I love? Who loves me? Instantly, it'll change my state. What am I grateful for? What's great in my life? In the midst of anything, if I stop, and again, here's the key, I must really want to hear the answer. I got to discipline myself to say, I really want to know the answer to this. As soon as I think about it and focus on what's great, I feel great. See, I don't need a drug. I don't need cigarettes. I don't need food. I don't need alcohol, and neither do you. What I need is to control my mind, to direct it with questions. Here's the second thing that questions do. They instantly change what you're considering and what you delete from your life. I have a phrase that I've used before, and I call human beings deletion creatures. What does it mean? Well, simply what it means is that you and I have so many things going on around us right now that we can't possibly focus on them all. We can only focus on a small amount of things at one time. We can only consider a few things simultaneously. Our brain goes a little nuts consciously. Now, our unconscious mind can do all kinds of things, but consciously we're limited in that area. So what happens is the brain spends most of its time trying to figure out what not to pay attention to. For example, right now there might be noises going on in your car or in your home. You might feel the air conditioning going against your skin. There's blood pulsating through your ear. Your heart is beating 100,000 times a day without you thinking about it. All that stuff's going on, you delete most of it. You only pay attention to a small number of things. And those are the things your brain asks questions about. Questions, again, control your focus. So think about this. If you're feeling really sad, there's only one reason. It's because you're deleting all the reasons you could be feeling good. You're deleting all the great things in the world to feel bad. And by the way, if you're feeling good, it's because you're deleting all the bad things you could be focusing on. So when we ask somebody a question, we change what they're focusing on and we change what they're deleting. For example, if right now you're mad and I say to you, hey, listen, I know you're mad, but let me ask you one question. How are you going to use this? You were deleting how you could use this. You weren't focusing on that. The minute I change your focus, you start to consider a new possibility. I bring into your focus, I bring into your reality that this could be a benefit. I've changed what you've deleted. Here's the third thing that questions do. They give us access to new resources. They give us power, if you will. See, if you ask a question like, well, how come I can't do this? That accesses the power to shut yourself down. If you ask yourself a question like, how can I make this work and have fun doing it? You not only get the answer of how to get the job done, which gives you resources, ideas, and thoughts you weren't thinking of. It gives you access to those ideas that are somewhere in the back of your head. It just gives you the answer. It's like pushing a button. Asking a question is like pushing a button, and you get a result. So when you say, how can I turn this around? You get an answer. If you say, how can I turn this around and enjoy the process? You get an even better answer. You get a fun answer. You get an enjoyable answer. So those are the three things that questions do. And here's the key. Questions create momentum. See, have you ever noticed when you start asking questions, let's say negative questions like, why'd they do this to me? Well, how come they always do that? Pretty soon you're asking worse and worse and worse questions. You kind of get on a roll. Same thing happens on the positive side. So questions can create momentum, and questions can be used to stop momentum if you ask a new kind of question. Now, let me offer you two giant categories of questions. So whenever you're asking a question, you think about them in terms of one of these two areas. Let's refine some of those distinctions a little bit. Let's take a look at some new questions you could ask, and then I'll give you your assignment for the month, and you're off on your own to go apply this stuff and produce some new results in your life. First of all, two giant categories of questions. Number one, empowering questions, and number two, disempowering questions. Now, I know that sounds third grade, but think about it. If you on a regular basis would just become sensitized to noticing the questions you're asking yourself and saying, hey, is this empowering me or disempowering you? That alone can change your life. I'll give you an example of the difference. My definition of an empowering question is one that provides new understanding. See, if you ask a question, it gives you more understanding, more distinctions, more ideas. You got an empowering question. Another definition might be an empowering question is one that focuses you on solutions instead of problems. See, if you're focusing on solutions, if you keep asking for solutions, you're going to get them. It's that simple. And a third way of defining empowering question for me is if a question moves you to action. If it's getting you to do something that's bothering you or do something about how to improve your life, now you're really expanding. Now it's really working. Fourthly, I think a question is empowering if it makes you responsible and gives you the power to make a change. That is, if it makes you not responsible in the negative sense, like, oh my gosh, you're at fault, but response able, able to respond to what's going on because you see that you're in control, that you can turn it around. Fifth key to an empowering question, I think, is if a question makes you have a deeper sense of meaning for your life. And the sixth distinction I put down here in my notes is I think a question empowers you if it helps you to learn anything from the situation or helps you to feel or help other people to feel empowered. Now, what's a disempowering question? Those are easy. They're pretty much the antithesis. You know, a question is disempowering if it focuses you on purely the problem and not the solution. It's a disempowering question if it makes the problem bigger than it really is. It's disempowering you if it makes you unresourceful, if it puts you in a stuck state where pretty soon you don't feel like you can turn anything around. It's a disempowering question if you feel like you're responsible, but there's nothing you can do about it, if you feel like you're out of control. And finally, disempowering questions are questions that are like endless loop questions, like, why me, God? If you ask those questions, you can go on over and over and over and come up with a zillion answers and never know for sure what things really do mean. We want to ask empowering questions. And again, the difference in the quality of people's lives is whether they ask more empowering or disempowering questions. For example, story I'll never forget. It's about a gentleman in Poland who's a writer today. And in World War II, being of Jewish descent, the Nazis stormed into his home and took his family, sent them to Auschwitz. He not only went through the horrors of the camp, but he went through the personal horror of seeing his own individual family members murdered, most of them gassed, one shot. You can imagine the intensity and the pain. He looked around and saw himself and saw everyone else, and it became clear to him from his mind, he believed that if he stayed there even another day, he would die. But unlike most of the people around him, he asked a different question. The question he asked was this: how do I get out of here today? And he asked the question with such intensity and such expectancy for an answer that every answer he got, when it didn't make any sense, he just said, how can I still do today? There must be a way. How can I get out of here today? How can I get out of here healthfully, alive, today? He asked it over and over and over again, and he kept getting answer after answer, and most of them didn't work. He just kept asking the question, kept getting new answers, until finally his brain had this embedded within it. 6 or 7 hours into the day, he got his answer. Because the question was so obsessive, it was there constantly. He looked up and he saw a huge pile of bodies that had been shoveled into the back of a truck. Men, women, and children who'd been gassed and murdered, and their corpses thrown on the back of the truck naked. The gold fillings had been pulled from their teeth, any jewelry that they once had, anything that they owned was stripped of them, including the clothing, so it wouldn't be wasted. Instead of saying, how could these Nazis be so abusive, so destructive? How could God make something so evil? Why has God done this to me? He asked a different question. He said, how could I use this? How could I use this to escape? And he instantly got the answer. In a heartbeat, without hesitating, he ripped off his clothes. He hid them and he immediately dove into the pile of bodies while no one was looking and pretended that he was dead, remaining totally still while his body became almost crushed by an additional pile of bodies that were poured on there. Cadavers, the smell of rotting flesh, and the rigidity of the remains of other beings surrounding him everywhere. He waited there and waited and waited, hoping that no one would notice that he was there, hoping sooner or later the truck would drive off. And fortunately, it did. It not only drove off, but when it dumped the bodies, it dumped them in a giant open grave, thank God. He remained there for hours until nightfall. And finally, when he felt certain there was no one there, he eventually crawled and extracted himself out from the cadavers. And he ran naked 45 miles to freedom. What was the difference between him and other people? He asked a better question. Think about it. I'm not saying that everyone there, if they would ask the question, would have escaped. My point, though, is if you want a unique experience, ask a unique question with total expectancy for answers. And if you don't get the right answer, keep asking it. Ask with consistency, ask with intensity. Another example is my good friend W. Mitchell. If you read my book, Unlimited Power, you know his story. A gentleman who found himself in a motorcycle accident with 2/3 of his body burned off. Not only did he recover from that, but then he turned around and had an airplane accident, became paralyzed from the waist down for life. And yet one of the most incredible people I know, ran for lieutenant governor of Colorado. He's now a speaker all over the nation. A man with real heart, real soul, a real success with great relationships everywhere he goes, including the relationship he has with his lady. But here's the key. When he found himself in the hospital, 2/3 of his body burned off, and everyone else around him feeling sorry for themselves, saying, why me? He didn't ask that question. He asked, how can I use this? Pretty important question to ask. It's the difference in destinies. Why me versus how can I use this? He realized that being hurt and angry and frustrated wasn't going to change his life. So instead of looking at what he didn't have, he said to himself, what do I still have? Who am I really? Am I merely my body or am I something more? What am I really capable of now, even more so than before? And after his airplane accident, when now he's paralyzed from the waist down, and here he is in the hospital, he meets an incredibly attractive woman, a nurse, and he has the audacity, with his entire face burned off, his skin burned off, paralyzed from the waist down. Here's the question he asked. How could I get a date with her? I said, are you kidding? When I was interviewing Mitchell, you really asked that question? He said, yeah. People said, that guy's insane. He's deluding himself. And that's what they told him inside there, his buddies that were sitting next to him there in the hospital. But you know what? A year and a half later, here he was in a relationship with her, and he still is to this day. See, questions provide answers. Questions change your life. But you must make sure you're asking empowering questions, not disempowering questions. And by the way, why questions can be disempowering questions or empowering. If you keep asking why me, again, that's what I call an endless loop. Be very careful of those. Let me give you two more distinctions about types of questions. Another way of chunking questions is, are they possibility questions or necessity questions? Interesting distinction that I've made in my own life. See, possibility questions are usually languaged as, what if? What if this happens? What if I turn this whole thing around? What if I learn enough to really make my life work? What if I can learn enough to really make a difference in the world itself? What if I master this so well that I really can shape my own life and help other people everywhere I go? What if questions open up your whole life? And I ask a lot of those, because if you want to create new possibilities, it starts with your thought process. If you want to create new results, you got to think of new things. To think of new things, you got to ask possibility-oriented questions. Now, the problem is some people just stay in possibility. They keep saying, what if this works out? What if it's great? What if it's always perfect? What if I turn the whole thing around? What if I get rich? What if I meet the woman I dreams? What if? But they don't ask necessity questions. Necessity questions, I language is, what must I do? What must I do to turn this thing around? Okay, that's what's possible. What must I do to make this work? What must I do to expand myself? What must I do to create financial independence? What must I do to influence my children better than the guy who sells crack on the street corner? See, you gotta ask both kinds of questions, not just get stuck in one or the other. If all you ever ask is, what must I do? Your brain may begin to rebel and say, I don't want to have all these musts in my life. I don't want all this necessity. Life is a balance between possibility and necessity. You might want to look at the questions you're asking yourself and say, am I creating enough possibility? Am I backing it up with necessities to make that dream a reality? And a third way of chunking questions or looking at them is, are your questions matching-oriented questions or mismatching-oriented questions? What does that mean? Well, if you're in a matching mode, what it means is, if somebody brings up an idea or concept, you ask yourself questions like, oh, what do I like about that? you're kind of matching with that person's enthusiasm. Or what's great about this? Or how can I use this? Or how is this like what I want? For example, if you're going to work with someone on, let's say, creating an agreement in a negotiation, you don't want to start with constant differences. You want to see what things you agree on first so you can get some momentum in the relationship. What's great about this? What do I agree with? What's right? And creates a real rapport. In a brainstorming fashion with people, it helps you come up with lots of ideas when you're matching. If you said, I want to change the world, and somebody said, oh, that's stupid, and immediately mismatched you, you'd lose your enthusiasm. So they might say, yeah, I want to change it too. What are some ways we could do that? What if we did this? What if we did that? What if we started with ourselves? What if we started tomorrow? What if we started with what we're doing with our family? As you ask questions like that, questions that are matching, you get a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, a lot of momentum. However, there is a time for mismatching questions. Some people never ask, well, what if it doesn't work? And you got to ask that question too. See, I used to be guilty of being a pure possibility question asker who was always matching. I always said, okay, what's possible? And how is this like what I think it'll work out like? And I had all this enthusiasm and I never looked, well, what if it doesn't work out? And I got hurt a bit. So I threw my pendulum for a while and became a total necessity person. Well, what must we do all the time? And, you know, what if it doesn't work? And that didn't work either. Life's a balance. I can tell you that by asking questions in the beginning of a relationship, for example, I just recently hired a new CEO from one of my companies. And in hiring the CEO, I spent a lot of time finding out this person's values, this person's belief, their track record, interviewing other people, etc. And in the process of doing that, we then began to put together an agreement. And in the agreement, as you can imagine, we focused on, once I decided I wanted him, all the things we agreed on. And then I could have finished there, but I kept mismatching. I kept looking at the agreement and saying, okay, what's the intent of this agreement? Are we meeting that intent? And then I asked a different question, one I never asked before. What haven't we covered? What have we left out? And I kept asking that question. You know what? The more I asked it, the more I came up with more things we should put in our agreement so that our relationship would be long-lasting. Then I asked myself the question, based on the present deal, the formulas we worked out for his pay and his share in profits, where is it possible that a year from now this could feel unfair? To him or to me? And you know what? I came up with things. I came up with things that would have been unfair to him, and he was thrilled when I pointed those out, and we made changes. I came up with things that would be unfair to me. One answer I got when I said, how could this be unfair to me, would have cost me another $100,000 to $200,000 next year that would be unfair for things I've already done with my company before he ever got here. But because I asked the right question, because I mismatched, I saved myself $100,000 to $200,000. See, you want to be able to ask possibility questions, necessity questions, matching questions, and then after you've got a strong relationship, a strong momentum on your idea, now you need to mismatch a little bit. Look at the other side, and then you can move on. A couple of key distinctions you want to have. So let's do this. Let's take a look at areas of your life very quickly. And this is going to be part of your homework, and I'll kind of help you with it by giving you a little bit of a jump start. And you may want to listen to these questions again. Maybe you want to write them down when this tape is done. But what I've done with myself that's really helped me tremendously is I've taken areas of my life, and now I don't do it with myself as much because I've already got those locked in, but I do it with other people when people are having challenges. Take areas of a person's life and find out, what are some questions? Just ask yourself, what are some questions that you ask yourself a lot when people upset you? Questions I used to ask is, how could this person do this to me? Now, there's a problem with that kind of a question. It has built into it something we call a presupposition. A presupposition means you're asking a question that within the question has a statement that may not be true, i.e., how could he do this to me? He may not be doing anything to me, but I'm making that true by asking the question that way. Or how come I'm not turning this around? How come I never succeed? That has a presupposition that you never succeed, which may not be true, but as soon as you ask the question, your brain will respond as if it's true. So you got to be careful of this thing called presuppositions. Now, for me, for example, if I say, how could this person do this to me? What that did is it made me angry. It made me feel like they were doing something to me. I wasn't in control. I was resentful towards this person. What I've learned to do now is if somebody does something, like for example, say somebody comes up to you and they're really harsh with you, and you haven't even started to talk to them, you've done nothing wrong. A better question that I ask myself now, if somebody's really rude with me, for example, is I say, I wonder what makes this person treat people this way. Notice how different that feels. A lot different than, how could this person dare do this to me, to, I wonder what makes this person treat people this way. It changes my focus to what's going on with that person. And by doing that, I usually can find out something I can help that person with. And when I help them, they treat me great. See, part of life is being a leader. In order to be a leader, you got to control your focus. You can't just be in reaction. The way to do that is install within yourself, just by habit, a set of questions that empower you. So I put that question, by the way, when I realized it would work, put on the visor of my car, because my car was one of the places I asked, how could this person cut me off like this? And I look up and see this question and say, I wonder what's going on with that person right now that makes them treat people this way. Well, maybe they're trying to make it to the hospital. Maybe something's happened I'm not aware of. Maybe they're just stressed out of their mind. I wonder what's going on in their personal life. And it made me curious instead of angry. It really worked. Or the example before I gave you, if I said, gosh, how could this person do this to me? Instead, I said, you know, what do I respect about this person? Or what could I learn from this? Or ask myself a question like, you know, will this even matter 5 years from now? Or questions like, what's actually funny about this that I hadn't noticed before? See, when you ask yourself those questions, it changes your focus, your state, and your reality. So I want you to take the area of people upsets, and I want you to, at the best of your ability, think of what are some of the questions. Think of a time when you really got upset, and then what were you saying to yourself? What were you asking yourself? Write that down and come up with a better solution and write it down on your page, a better question. Here's another area I hear all the time in seminars. People are asking themselves questions like, why can't I get ahead financially? Or how come every time I start to do well financially, I sabotage myself? My response usually is, every time? Well, it seems like every time. They forget it's not every time they do this. Or somebody asks questions like, you know, why are things so expensive? See, those aren't the questions you're going to get good answers to. The key question is, what can you do to earn the money to be able to produce the results that you want in your life, to have what you want for yourself, your family, and your friends? That's the bottom line. A better question to ask in the area of money is, what do I really want? What am I really committed to, not just interested in financially? Who's doing well that I could learn from? How could I develop financial security for a lifetime instead of just for the moment? See, if you ask questions like that, you can get the resources to turn yourself around financially. In the area of money, I want you to sit down and think of times when you're stressed about money. Ask yourself, what do I say about myself? Go back to that memory. Once a time I was really upset, and think about it. And ask yourself, what are some of the questions? Or next time you get upset about money or about people, notice what you're saying and catch yourself with a question you're saying and write it down. Then write the antidote question, a question that'll empower versus disempower. Third area, take a look at relationships. Boy, this is one I hear all the time in seminars. This one and money probably fight it out more than anything else for the top of the list for most people. People oftentimes come to me and they say, well, gosh, you know, I'm not really happy in my relationship. And as we try and dig in and why, we find out that this person's usually asking questions like, well, you know, I really want to commit to this relationship. But they say, well, what if there's somebody else out there who's better? Well, that's a great empowering question. No matter who you're with, if you ask that question, you're going to make yourself uncertain. You're going to make yourself feel lousy. Think about this. If you really want to be fearful or if you really want to have doubt, all you have to do is ask yourself enough questions. Questions like, well, what if it doesn't work? What if I screw up? What if I fail? What if people reject me? Can you imagine if I was trying to get up to do a speech or talk to you on this tape? And I kept asking things in my head like, what if I screw this up? What if I mess up? What if people don't like this? If I asked those kinds of questions, I would be so fearful inside, I couldn't do anything. I'd totally disempower my state. But see, I don't ask those questions. I ask questions like, what can I give? What's important for people to know that they can use right away? How can I make this fun? How can we make sure that this information really does affect somebody's life if they're willing to use it? And when I ask those questions, I get a different quality of answer. So if you ask, well, what if it doesn't work in a relationship, it's already not going to work. Because you're going to focus on it not working. As soon as you focus on it, you're going to go in the state of it not working. As soon as you go in the state of not working, you'll behave in a way that screws it up. So it becomes self-fulfilling. So instead of like, well, gosh, am I really in love? What if you kept asking yourself, am I really strong? Or am I just a weak person? You know, can I really do this? You'll begin to doubt. If you keep saying, am I really in love, you're going to doubt your love. See, what you got to eventually do is decide that you're in love, decide you're committed to the relationship. And then you want to ask yourself a new question that'll empower the relationship. Questions like, how can I give more to my relationship? How can I empower the person I'm in the relationship with? How can I make this person I love feel even more loved by me? How can I put more creativity, more fun, more excitement here? How can I make it happen? So you deserve to ask yourself better questions in a relationship. What other areas? How about food and weight? You know, I always love talking to people who can't lose weight. And the reason they can't lose weight is that very phrase. They ask questions like, how come I can never lose weight? Well, think about that. If you ask a question like, how come you can never lose weight? Your brain goes, because you're a pig. I mean, come on, you don't want to do that. A better question than how come you can't lose weight is, how can I lose weight? Of course, then your brain will probably say, go on a diet. And then your brain will say, oh yeah, but that's painful. So ask a better question. Ask, how can I lose weight now and enjoy the process? See, if you add enjoy the process, your brain will come up with a fun way to lose weight. Maybe it has something to do with exercise. Maybe it has to do with sampling new kinds of unique foods that happen to also be better for you. There's all kinds of possibilities, but you don't get the possibility to ask a better question. Remember, if you want to do this, you don't want to ask questions like, well, what will make me feel stuffed? What will make me feel absolutely, totally full today? You know, what do I love? What else do I like? What else could I have? If you keep asking that question, you're going to be a porker. A better question to ask yourself is, am I satisfied now? You know, could I be satisfied with what I've already had? Am I eating something that's empowering me? I'll tell you one I used on myself that really helped me a long time ago. When I was really having a tough time, I was analyzing this about 6 months ago. Because somebody's asking me about how I turned myself around. There were a lot of things I did, but one of the things I learned to do is to look at my food and ask myself the question, if I eat that, something I thought I was going to have, like I used to eat chocolate, for example, if I go and eat that, what will it cost me? See, that's a different feeling. That made me focus on the pain instead of the pleasure and associate the pain to eating the food. Another question I learned to ask was, well, if I eat that, what will I have to give up in order to still get my goals? I thought, I don't want to give anything up. So then what it is, it changed what eating the food meant from getting something to giving something up. I didn't want to give something up, and so I didn't eat the food in the first place. And other foods look more attractive to me because I asked a different question. Again, look in the area of weight or of food if that's important to you and see what questions you're asking now when you're going and overeating, let's say, as an example, or eating foods you know aren't good for you, and create an antidote question that would make you link pain to overeating and pleasure to eating well. Another great question and an important question, rather than just denying yourself, is what could I do I'd enjoy even more? Maybe you might think of making love. Maybe you might think of something that you really love to do with friends. There are all kinds of things you could do. And the more you ask that question, by the way, the more options you'll have. In other words, you'll get access to other resources you're not even thinking about, that you're deleting right now that may be more pleasurable than food, but you just haven't created the answer because you haven't asked the question. So you don't have to make it painful to lose weight. You can make it real pleasurable if you just find more resources. You find more resources by asking a better question. Does this sound redundant? It's because it is. Because repetition's the mother of skill. Questions are the answer. You want more answers? Ask better questions. Last couple areas, the area of your job. People say all the time, oh, how come, you know, my boss never recognizes me? Or how come my boss is so unfair? Well, that's a great presupposition. A person may seem unfair, but they're probably not unfair. What's a better question you could ask? Well, what could I do to help the company more? How could I empower my boss? What could I do to get through to my boss so my boss understands what I'm really contributing? See, that'll move you in the area of solutions instead of problems and make you feel really great. Or who is already recognizing me in this organization, who already appreciates my work that maybe I hadn't noticed before? And of course, it's real important to ask destiny-oriented questions. Questions like, if I continue down my present path, what will the consequences be for my future? See, that's a question few people ask. That's part of what we call the Niagara Syndrome. You've heard me talk about it before, the idea that most people in life make decisions without really looking at the consequences honestly, without really considering or evaluating them. And you want to be fair to yourself by evaluating in advance. And finally, in the overall area of emotions as a whole, remember, asking questions can break your pattern. If you're in a pattern of upset, a pattern of frustration, a pattern of anger, a pattern of hurt, a pattern of hopelessness, a new question can change it all. And I'll tell you a question that's really invaluable that can change your emotion any moment in time. Remember this one. Underscore it. Write it in your notes. Simple question. When you're feeling bad, ask yourself this. What would I like to feel in this situation? How would I like to feel right now? Just by asking how you'd like to feel, your brain will think about it and begin to feel more in that way. And your brain will probably follow that question up by saying, well, how do I make that happen right now? How could I feel that way? Oftentimes, all you have to do to feel that way is change what you're noticing, change what you're focusing on, or take some simple new action. Another great question you could ask yourself if you really wanted to lower the intensity of your emotion, like if you're really upset, what other word could I use right now to describe how I'm really feeling? Instead of saying I'm furious, what might be a different word I might use to describe my feelings to lower the intensity? You might say I'm angry or I'm concerned or this frustrates me a little bit. That would change how you feel. So ask yourself, what's a word I could use right now to describe how I feel that would lower my intensity? Another good question you might want to ask yourself is, what else could a situation mean that I haven't thought about that would change the way I feel or make me feel good about the situation? Another great question for changing your emotions. In the scheme of my whole life, how important is this? How important is this likely to be over the next 10 years to me? That'll pull you out a lot of times very quickly. It chunks you up, if you will. And lastly, probably the most important question if you really want to have results in your life is to ask yourself the question, what specific actions can I now take that'll lead me step by step to the solutions I need? Now, I've dumped a lot on you in this tape. I've dumped so many questions on you, your brain may be fried. You may be thinking, Robin, you give me so many questions here, I can't keep up. The idea here is to stimulate you to think. I want you to realize thinking is nothing but the process of asking questions, and I want you to think about the quality of them. Are they empowering? Are they disempowering? Are they giving you new possibilities? And are they being backed up with the necessities necessary to turn dreams into reality? Are they causing you to build something or tear something down? And in the asking of those questions and looking at them, realizing that if you want to, at any moment, you can change your whole life by asking questions. So I have what I call my daily success ritual. And what I do every morning is I ask myself a series of questions, and then I don't just ask them and get a quick answer, but I focus on the answer until I feel it. I really associate to the answer. And I start out mornings by asking myself questions like, what's really great about life? What's really great in my life right now? Instead of just going, well, what's great in my life is things are on a roll, I stop and I think of individual things that I think are really great, that make me feel great. I step into those experiences and say, gosh, how does that make me feel? And I get associated to it. I ask myself, what am I really happy about in my life? What really makes me happy? What am I happy about? Or what could I be happy about right now? And then I stop, I think about, and I get the answers. In fact, why don't you join me in answering these? Start with the first one. What really is great in your life right now? Think about it. And you might say nothing, but if there was something great in your life right now, tell me something or think in your mind, what's something that's really great? And think about how that makes you feel. Think of the second question. What are you really happy about in your life right now? Or what could you really be happy about if you wanted to be happy? What are you really happy about? What are you most happy about in your life right now? Could be something little or something big. Think about it right now. Instead of just saying, well, my family, stop and think about how do you feel about your family? What about your family makes you feel happy, or your job, or your relationship, or whatever? Feel it. The key here is to feel it, not just to think it, but stop, put yourself in your body feeling those emotions. Third question, what am I really excited about in my life? What are you excited about? What's upcoming? What could happen? What's already happened in your life? What are you really excited about? Stop right now and think of the answer. Notice how that makes you feel. How does it feel to be that excited about things? And when I do this, I usually come up with two or three things I'm excited about, two or three things that I feel good about, one at a time, feeling each one. Fourthly, I ask myself, what am I really grateful for in my life? I'll never forget one time being with a friend who was really, really upset. I said, what are you grateful for in your life? He said, well, that's a totally different question. I don't know. I said, really think about it. What are you grateful for? And he said, gosh, I'm so grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for the life I've already lived. I'm so happy about who I've become as a person. See, sometimes we forget that. We delete all that stuff. Stop right now and think, what are the things you're really grateful for? How does that make you feel? You deserve the gift. Give it to yourself. And lastly, as a minimum, I ask myself, who do I love and who loves me? Instead of just saying, well, my children, my wife, my friends, I think of each person. I think about how I feel about them, how much I love them, and how much they love me back. Try it. Feel it. See, whatever you focus on, you get more of. But you got to focus on love. It's there. You got to focus on it, though, to have it, to experience it. Feel it right now. And notice how you feel as a whole right now, to maybe compared to even a couple minutes ago when I was just jamming a bunch of questions at you. Think about how this makes you feel. What if every morning you started out focusing on what's great in your life, what you're happy about, who you love and who loves you, what you're grateful for, what you're excited about. If every day you start out focusing on these kinds of questions, you're going to feel these kinds of emotions. And when you're feeling this good, now when something else comes up, somebody says something or they're a little harsh, you're coming from this state and you're going to evaluate what to do a lot differently, aren't you? If you do it every single day, pretty soon you open your eyes and your brain starts asking these questions automatically. What you've done is you've conditioned yourself for success. Just a little gift you might want to give yourself. And you're not limited to my five questions. You might want to come up with your own handful of questions. And maybe each week, keep changing them until you find five you really love most. So that's an additional gift you should give yourself. Finally, let me give you one other concept that's changed my whole life. I call it concentration of power. What it means to me is this. If you see anyone who's mastered anything, it's simply because every single day, they've made a new distinction about how to make it better, how to know more about it, how to be more effective in the use of something. For example, Michael Jackson, Fred Astaire, Baryshnikov, here are masters in the area of dance. What made them masters? Every single day of their life, virtually, they have concentrated the power of their mental and emotional focus on how to be better in that area. If you talk to somebody like, Bill Cosby or an Eddie Murphy, they're asking questions every day about how to make things funnier, how to make it more outrageous, how to make it more playful. What's actually humorous about this? And they ask it every day. They're trying to figure out how to get across and do a better job. If you do something every day, you're going to get great because you're concentrating all your power. If every day you concentrate on being funny, I promise you, you'll be funny. I don't care what it is. So the bottom line is, we have answers if we concentrate our power. If you want to make your relationship better, I guarantee you can do it if you use this principle, concentration of power, which means every day ask yourself questions. How can I make my relationship better? How can I learn from this? How can I utilize this? If you do that every day, your relationships will be great. But you got to ask questions consistently in that area and focus in that area. If you want to do better financially, I guarantee you, if you concentrate your power by focusing and asking questions like, how can I be more profitable? What are T-bills? How can I make investments in growth companies? Who knows the answers? Who's a great model? If you ask those questions every day and more financial questions, you'll get more and more distinctions in the area of finance. And pretty soon you'll have some expertise, some experience, some power, and some results. So any area of your life, if you focus there consistently, you'll be empowered. So let's use this principle by going to this month's assignment. Here's your homework. Number one. I want you to sit down as soon as this tape is done, and I want you to take out your journal. I hope you got a journal by now. If you haven't, go out and get a hardbound journal. You can get one virtually anywhere. Most stationery stores, you can get them at Mormon bookstores. The bottom line is a hardbound journal you're going to have 5-10 years from now. A bunch of loose pieces of paper will disappear. Get yourself a journal. Write down the date and answer the following questions. And I want you to ask these questions for the next 30 days. Number one, what's great in my life? Now, if your brain goes, nothing, then ask the question, what could be great if I wanted to feel great about it? And just write down, brainstorm for just 1 or 2 minutes, everything that's great. Your relationship, your friends, the fact that you're going to develop a better relationship, you're going to have new friends, the book you just read, tapes you just listened to, whatever it is that's great in your life, anything and everything. What's great in your life? What can make you happy? Second, what's not perfect yet? What are things that aren't perfect yet? And notice what I said there. What's not perfect yet? That has a presupposition in it, doesn't it? It's got a good presupposition. It says that it may not be perfect now, but it's going to be. What's not perfect yet is different than saying, what's wrong in my life? It'll totally change the way you feel when you focus in this way. And brainstorm, what's not perfect yet? Be honest with yourself. Third question, what am I willing to do to make it the way I want it? What am I willing to do right now, tomorrow, today, this week, this month, to make my life the way I want it? That'll focus you on solutions. And lastly, what brand new thing can I do in my life to create more outrageousness, more playfulness, more fun? Get me to enjoy my life more. And I want you to brainstorm some things you could do right away. Again, tonight, tomorrow, something spontaneous. Things that'll really open you up and provide some possibilities you haven't thought of before. And then here's what I want you to do in addition for the next 30 days, real quickly. Each day, ask these questions. Secondly, make sure each day you use questions as a gift you can give other people. Because the one thought I want to leave you on is this. All the stuff I've talked to you about, I've talked to you primarily about how this can empower you. But everything I've shared with you, you could use to empower other people. If you see somebody's in a down state, why not turn to them and say, hey, I'm curious, what are you excited about in your life? They may go, nothing. Say, but you know, if you were excited, what would you be excited about? Or what are you proud of in your life? Or tell me, you know, I heard your daughter's doing really great in school. What's going on there? And you know what's interesting? As soon as you ask a question like that, you change a person's focus and you change the way they feel. See, if I want to give somebody a gift now, I say, what's great in your life? Tell me, what are you excited about? If I ask you, what's lousy in your life? You can tell me that too. And you'll search for the answer. And remember, whatever you ask for, you'll get. So if I want to give somebody a gift, I do it oftentimes on the phone in a heartbeat. I can give somebody a gift when I see them. I can give a stranger a gift just by asking an empowering question, one that changes their focus and therefore changes their state and makes them feel great. Your assignment, don't just take care of yourself. And the next 30 days, each day, with at least one person, I don't care who it is, stranger or friend, make sure in that day you deliberately ask a question, not for you, but for them. A question that makes somebody feel good and watch them brighten up. And you know what? You'll get addicted to it. And all of a sudden, people look at you, and every time they see you, they don't know why, they'll feel good. And the reason they'll feel good is when they get around you, you get them to focus on the things that are really empowering them in their life and making them feel phenomenal. Also, be sure this month to review our book summary with Peter Lynch. In case you've forgotten, he's one of the greatest investors of all time. If you'd given him $10,000 when he was running Fidelity Magellan Fund, it was worth $190,000 within 10 years. See, this is prior to that dot-com bubble. This kind of return was unheard of by anyone. So Peter is a genius at taking either the average investor or a sophisticated investor and getting to see how to produce lasting results. The book is called Learn to Earn, and it's one of his bestsellers, and it really is phenomenal because no matter how sophisticated you are, even if you're making money, he'll show you why. Because if you don't know why, you got a problem. And here's the problem. In any 10-year period, 95% of investors lose money. That's right, 95%. So you got to find out what Peter knows. Be sure to review his summary, but then go get the book. All right. Hey, till I'm with you again next month, go use this stuff. Go have some fun. Ask some empowering questions every day and enjoy the results. And I look forward to being with you again. Till then, live with passion.